What did you learn from Joe Rogan and Post Malone, Raph?
I learned that sometimes people can be creative through really focusing their body and mind on health and peak performance, and other times people can be really creative just by having 8 beers and some mushrooms.
Who was on which side of that argument?
Well, no, that's what Joe basically said.
Right, okay.
He's like, you know, sometimes we're all about, you know, health and keeping your mind focused, but, you know, sometimes, like you, you know. He's like, that's right, man. 8 beers and all of a sudden we got, it's a man of me imagination. So that's what I learned.
You know, Post Malone follows me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I made a rude joke about a photo of him.
And it got, and he hit follow.
And he obviously, well, I think he got a few retweets or whatever.
Mm.
And he saw it. And he replied, I can't remember who replied. He replied something to it, which was kind of like, ha, ha, ha. And then he followed me. And I think it's just one of those things of like, I'm watching you, brother. Don't make any fucking rude jokes about me or what I look like ever again. And I haven't. Because why would you do that to someone that follows you?
No, exactly.
It's an intimate sort of situation.
Yes.
If that's his strategy to neutralize critique of his slovenly appearance, fair play, Post Malone.
And the same is true, obviously, as of a down-around subscriber. If you work for a FANG company or a consultancy or whatever and you don't want us to criticize you, simply hit subscribe. Annual subscription.
Pay for a subscription.
An ultra, in fact. Premium or whatever tier?
Pay for the highest tier.
And we will not criticize your business anymore.
So if you suddenly go, hang on a minute, Darren haven't talked about Meta or Amazon or Microsoft or Apple, to be honest, in ages.
Yeah.
You'll know it's because one employee of all those companies signed up and started paying for the premium.
No, you need to be minimum tier SVP.
Okay, yep. So if you're an Apple SVP listening right now and you are thinking these guys are breathing down our necks, they're coming down hard on the Apple car being cancelled, all you need to do...
For the record, I think everything that Apple is in the right in the EU cases, and we shan't be talking about it today.
But if you want us to shut up, and Raph obviously just shot through our sales plan immediately, subscribe, start paying, and all your problems will go away. But there's one company that we will always have our eye on.
Oracle.
Larry Ellison, we're coming for you, brother.
Unless,
as mentioned before, you sign up. No. We've had a couple of episodes on the looming specter of the TikTok ban.
Yeah, we predicted, I don't know if we put a, do we cap it to like in the next 12 months TikTok will be banned about 14 months ago?
I think we're about 7 or 8 beers into our Christmas special when we made this prediction. So our audience can probably put us in our place.
Yeah, exactly. You can keep us honest.
In any case, both of us said at some point TikTok will probably be banned.
Yeah, and we've been on TikTok ban watch ever since. But I believe that was like, that was towards the beginning of Down. It was probably the first kind of Christmas period for Down Round, which is a year and a bit ago.
But we also talked about the last Christmas one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think we mea culpa'd that we predicted a year ago that TikTok was going to be banned, and it hadn't been yet, but we're going to stick to our guns.
We're renewing it. We put in another 12 months ahead. And luckily for us, the heat is in the air again. But so we want to talk about what's happening with the TikTok ban, and this is in the US, of course. I don't believe there's been any movement on the Australia stuff, but obviously the US is the most important market for this sort of thing. So we're going to talk about what's currently going on, but also use this as a bit of an opportunity to update a bit on what's kind of been happening with TikTok. There's been a couple of interesting little tidbits that have popped up over the past little while about, you know, TikTok as a company, and the idea that TikTok was this unstoppable juggernaut that could only be stopped by some sort of like regulatory action has maybe changed a little bit in terms of how it's going as a company. So we're going to talk about all that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, okay, let's start with the ban. I think we need to go back as historians oft do.
Let's go back.
Let's go back to the birth of content.
Close your eyes. You're standing on the shore of the Yangtze River. It's 2000 BC.
No, whatever. Like, Trump was in office. He announced, we're banning TikTok.
Yep.
It's time to get this Chinese propaganda. I mean, I actually don't really know his reasons. I assume it was China related.
Yeah, it was China. I mean, at the end of the day, all the arguments about TikTok, and you know this, I mean, this is not a newsflash, an outgrowing of like the geopolitical struggle between America and China.
Yeah.
We've talked about it so many times on Down Round, the idea that China has been a manufacturing superpower for a very long time. Now there are sort of, I mean, and have been for a while, geopolitical conflict between China and the US. But on the technological front, there's been a huge advance over the past decade where China is kind of moving into areas where the US has traditionally
high tech
done really well. High tech and like information technology, like content, distribution, marketing, all these kind of things, China's gigantic tech market has been doing better at.
Yeah, yeah. And free trade is only good as long as the dominant power is able to exploit that. Economic decoupling is the word of the day. Anyway, in that context, everyone knows rise of TikTok, blah, blah, blah. Trump was like, we're banning TikTok unless you reach some kind of agreement, ideally to be bought by an American business. My preferred is Oracle because Larry Ellison, former head of Oracle, big Trump donor. That didn't happen.
No.
Didn't happen. However, some things did happen.
Yeah, and this is worth talking about because a lot of people kind of, well, Trump clearly lost interest in it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the big things. You know, as we know, during the Trump presidency, he would sort of ping pong between stuff and have fixations and then forget about them and move on to something else. Maybe things will be different in Trump round two, which seems to be happening. But a lot of people did. They were kind of like, oh, okay, I guess the TikTok thing was resolved. It's still available and I can still watch it, so whatever.
Yeah.
But things did actually happen. And what happened, Raf?
What happened was that TikTok announced a partnership with Oracle where they would move all US user data to Oracle servers based in the US. They also, and like this is all pretty hectic, like this is pretty big steps. It's kind of underreported. But Oracle have full rights to audit TikTok's source code, like their, which is for, you know, for tech companies, your source code is kind of, that's like a, like if it was like Harry Potter or whatever, it would be in that bank with the racist goblins or whatever. Right? Just trying to give a metaphor.
That's so true.
That people would understand. A simile.
So a company's source code, you know, the goblins in Harry Potter?
They'd be protecting the source code.
They'd be looking after that in the bank. And all the every DownRound subscriber is like, oh, fuck, yes. Now I get it.
No, but source code is highly private, right?
It's private, just like the
just like
the goblins in Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the gold they have.
Exactly.
That's like, it's very private stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah. Who knows what they got in there? That's the whole point. Okay. Same as the source code. So Oracle set up a dedicated transparency center on behalf of their client, TikTok. That is to say, TikTok moved all of their US data to Oracle and also gave Oracle, in their dedicated transparency center, which was set up for TikTok, access to their source code, access to their moderation policies and guidelines. And Oracle have a bunch of people sitting there on computers. Apparently, there was many arguments over the placement of cameras in this transparency center because TikTok were like, yes, we're going to open our books and you can audit our code, but we want a camera looking at every single employee. There were negotiations back and forth because Oracle were like, we don't want you to be able to see them typing in their passwords, and they came to some kind of agreement on the angle of the camera that is on. I mean, imagine working in there.
Oh yeah, in the TikTok Oracle Transparency Center.
Yeah,
one of the most evil buildings on planet Earth. <I know. laughs>
And like ostensibly, so TikTok is paying for all of this. Obviously, like,
yeah,
they are paying Oracle
to host,
both to host and for the privilege of being able to look at their source code
of being audited. Because again, like, you know, the solution here was, and it didn't please everyone, as we're going to talk about with the current kerfuffle. But, you know, the idea was, we don't like the idea that TikTok's data and all the stuff that American kids are uploading to TikTok and whatever is sitting on some Chinese server farm.
Yeah, and like China has different data privacy laws, obviously, than...
There is a law in China that, this is incredibly oversimplifying, but the idea that the government can basically audit in the interest of national security what's going on with the company data that within China's borders.
But yeah, point being, that's basically the current situation. As you can imagine, that relationship is a little fraught, where allegedly, as far as Oracle is concerned, they feel like they're basically a counterintelligence operation and whatnot. TikTok feel like Oracle basically just pile on as many complexities as possible in order to like charge lots of money, because like, once again to reiterate, TikTok have to pay Oracle to provide this service of auditing.
$1 billion a year, I think, is the...
Around $1 billion is the number. And bearing in mind that Oracle make a revenue of around $18 billion on their cloud infrastructure services. So this is a boon for Oracle, that basically TikTok has been forced to pay them $1 billion a year in order to...
continue operating in the US.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what's happening. It's a little... well, you can take from it what you want, how that looks. However, this is not enough, evidently.
Yeah, no, because again, as you said, like, for a lot of people, it was like, oh, that problem seemed to have been resolved when Trump lost interest in it. This was kind of the solution.
Yeah.
This idea that, all right, if we host it all with a nice American company, because remember, there was the discussion of like, maybe Oracle just could acquire them.
Maybe Microsoft was going to acquire them.
Like ByteDance could divest, but it was always going to be complicated because, you know, this is one of ByteDance's important businesses, and they have Douyin, which is also like the same as TikTok, except with some like China-specific features and content.
Mm.
So it's like, how could you divest while sort of like maintaining the integrity of that business? It was always going to be a really complicated thing. Plus the fact of like, no one wanted to have TikTok, right?
Yeah.
It seemed like there was the cost, like, plus the fact, like, the idea of Oracle owning TikTok, as I think we've talked about in the podcast, is demented.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not a consumer business at all.
They're like a hardware server business, really.
They're a hardware and database business that is, you know, one of the biggest software businesses on the planet, but have no expertise in this stuff. And companies like Microsoft, again, they have some consumer businesses. Xbox, which we've talked about a couple of times, is...
Well, I mean, it was leaked. The emails about Microsoft and TikTok were leaked where... high ups at Microsoft, I mean, why are we even considering this?
Yeah.
Like, why are we deeming to give this airtime? And they're basically like, well, yeah, sure, we weren't looking at TikTok, but if it's for sale, I guess we may as well think about it.
The price is probably depressed because of what's going on here. So,
yes, there's no real good reason for us to buy it, but, you know, I don't know, we should look at it.
Yeah, yeah,
now
exactly.
Now that it's being forced for sale. Yeah, again, they didn't buy it. No one really wanted it because, as you say, it's... what a huge headache to be on the end of like buying a company that doesn't want to be sold and then unwinding it from, realistically, if all the algorithms and talent are back in China, you know, what are you really getting? You're getting a big user base and if you're lucky, their algorithms, but I don't think you'd even get their algorithms, right? You'd basically just get the user base and have to rebuild it from scratch.
To my understanding, they do have a bunch of US-based engineers and stuff. But again, you know, I don't know. It seems like a complicated game. And, you know, the TikTok globally has sort of historically been run out of Singapore with the Singaporean CEO, whose name eludes me at the moment. Even though they have sort of, TikTok has become in practice America-based, there's still like a strong Asian component to like its management and the way it's run. Anyway, so that didn't work, but they did come to this weird agreement with Oracle. Things simmered down for a while at least.
Yeah.
You know, and we've mentioned this on the podcast before, the idea that the banning TikTok is a complicated idea for any side of politics in the US because not just everything we just described, but also the fact that it is an incredibly popular platform, very popular with the youth.
Yes.
Who, you know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you at the very least, you don't want to be the person who has been seen to like deliver the killing blow to an application that a lot of people use.
Well, just, like more than 50% of Americans use it.
It's a very basic political calculus that people like spending a lot of time on TikTok.
Yeah.
And if you're the one that's like, and like yanking their toy away from them, you will pay the price for that. Even if there's a lot of people who do want to bend. But regardless of that, the issue has not gone away.
No, it hasn't gone away. In fact, more recently, it's kind of simmered back to the surface again. And indeed, there was, you know, certain committees looking through the issue of TikTok. And TikTok evidently got wind of this and made a certain call that they were going to fight the PR battle head on.
There's a US government committee that basically, a 50-person committee that looks at...
Bipartisan,
that was looking at this issue. So there's a bill that's sitting in front of the US Congress that's making its way through, which is called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. Pretty evident from the name what it does. But the idea is that it would make TikTok illegal.
It's going to protect Americans.
It's going to protect Americans from foreign adversary controlled applications.
Yeah.
unless, and there's like a grace period built into the bill, but the idea would be it would make TikTok illegal unless TikTok did what it originally was talking about all the way back during this original ban period.
It was not owned by a foreign adversary.
Was not owned by a Chinese company.
Yeah.
So there was a House Oversight Committee that was looking at this bill and other TikTok regulatory efforts. And yes, ByteDance in the US were like, we need to solve this issue. And the way that they solved it is for users that were in the US, they would get a prompt that popped up on their screen in TikTok, which had basically a button to call their local congressman and plead their case.
A frictionless way to... They were like, TikTok's being banned. Save TikTok, basically.
Save TikTok.
And press here to call your local representative.
And by all accounts, people did.
Yes.
The information, a bunch of other places have reported that congressmen's offices across the US were inundated by calls from TikTok users begging them not to take down their app.
It was basically like a physical DDoS.
Basically. I am certainly not a crisis PR expert. I've never run a major PR influence campaign for any company. I would say that this was not the best idea.
Well, I mean, the fact that within 24 hours that committee had just basically all 50 people agreed, like, push it through this bill now.
50-0 said we need to run this bill at the moment. I mean, this comes back to the fact, even though technically some of the problem has been addressed by this partnership with Oracle, but the vibes are still wrong.
Well, this is what I want to get to, though. Like, it's still actually never been said aloud what TikTok has done wrong. Like, how is this protecting the United States?
Yeah.
And there don't get me wrong, there are vibes and there are implications and whatnot, but no one in this committee, no one in all the op-eds or whatever have pointed to a specific instance where they say, in this particular instance, here's what TikTok did to influence Americans one way or another. And don't get me wrong, like, there's been definitely like instances of like weird, you know, NBA team owners saying certain things about China, and all of a sudden when you search for that team on TikTok, that team doesn't come up or whatever. Certain search terms don't come up. But like, I haven't heard any politicians like pointing to anything like this.
No, and I think the best example I think you can give as to at least what they're relying on, like where however valid you think it might be. And I think this is one of the key reasons that it sort of thrusts itself back into the discourse, because this was talked about a lot on, you know, US news and among US politicians, is basically the war in Gaza. TikTok has been put forward as the reason why young Americans tend to be pro-Palestine. The idea being that, you know, they sit on TikTok all day, they scroll through videos, they get a shitload of anti-Israel content, with the implication being...
President Xi has got the publication of genocide knob like turning it one way or another.
Totally. That like China sees this as like a vulnerability in US foreign policy. They want a multipolar world. And so they're igniting the Israel-Palestine conflict. I think this is kind of silly.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. At least as it pertains to this sort of thing, I don't think this is the reason why a vast proportion of young Americans are pro-Palestine.
Yeah, they're just seeing the images and whatnot that everyone is seeing out of Gaza, and they err on the side of pro-Palestine.
This same argument. I mean, I don't want to get into like deep into the issue of how people respond to wars, but this argument has been had repeatedly since they started broadcasting images of like the Vietnam War.
Exactly. Yeah.
And why young lefties oppose American military funding and whatever, and like the Iraq War protests. We've been through this many
times.
But
I think you're dead right that people are seeking for people to blame, blah, 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 and it has certainly inflamed the idea that social media is spreading propaganda of one kind or another, and that is kind of, inflamed the situation. Yeah. This idea that, why are young people pro-Palestine because of the Chinese TikTok influence operation or whatever is a vague vibe. Obviously, again, let me be very clear, absolutely no evidence has been given.
There is no question that TikTok has a relatively strong power over what the consumption habits of people. And this is the same argument that gets... I'm not necessarily making an equivocation, but the idea of that, like, Instagram and Facebook do the same thing. They have control over what gets served to people at different times.
And again, not taking an opinion either way, but we saw it during COVID. Suppression of anti-vaccine, disinformation, blah, 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 blah. Like, the fact of the matter is these platforms do have an ability to suppress certain
things.
They have
things, yeah.
And,
like, this is a conversation we have about a lot of different platforms. Mm. But I do concede that, you know, if a platform is domiciled in the territory of someone that is considered an adversary of the United States, it's going to have a sort of keener influence on lawmakers and the media and people who think about this stuff, especially if you are of the view that there's something wrong with young people.
Yes.
I mean, like,
which,
you know,
there is.
don't get me wrong. Down Around is fully on board with the idea that there is something wrong with the youngins.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm also...
The kids ain't right.
Look, I'm on board with the idea that TikTok be banned as long as we just ban all of them. Just ban the lot of them.
They've all got to go.
They've all got to go.
Let's get back to smoke signals and circles.
I believe we did say in our omnibus episode.
It would be funny TikTok, if it was banned.
A, it would be funny if it was banned. And B, I get why the US would want to ban them, which is just like, we don't want China having a massive social media platform. Yeah, like, that's what we do. Like, we have the massive social media platforms.
That's like our export. That's like one of our biggest industries.
Yeah. We don't want...
That's like one of the things that maintains our cultural power.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want someone else like messing with the vibe there.
Exactly. Like, and from that perspective, I believe I've said this before. If I was the US, I would ban it just on that vibe. Like, it's just like, I don't want you guys to have a massive social media platform.
Yeah, and they would if it weren't for the case that TikTok has done very well and actually has like a huge install base there.
Which is not a legitimate reason to ban them. Like, if you know... What I'm basically saying is there is scant evidence that TikTok are putting their thumbs on the scale to try and like turn US teens trans or whatever like certain people are worried about or anti-Israel or whatever that other people are worried about or whatever it is. Like, it looks like that they've certainly suppressed in certain cases, in particular some kind of Tiananmen Square stuff and this kind of gear, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. But like, there really is very little evidence to suggest that they're like constantly got their thumbs on the scale turning knobs, other than just to juice engagement. But like, however, I totally get if I was the US, but I just wish they'd come out and say it and just be like, we don't like it, which I guess they kind of are. They're just kind of saying we don't like it.
No, that is basically the argument, because you're right. They aren't offering evidence, but they're more or less saying they have the ability to do it if they so wished, and also, you know, the kids have strange views.
Yeah. It's a vibe thing. It's a vibe ban.
And we don't like it. And they're being reinforced by sitting on TikTok all day.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of this shit. And so it doesn't, because I consider it a problem and it's going to be a bigger problem in the future. That's kind of the takeaway. But the funny thing that I think to the cherry on top here is that Trump is not pro TikTok.
No.
Donald Trump, who kicked all this off back in 2019 or whenever it was, has come out and made a post on Truth Social, his network, which is still kicking along, where basically, in short, you can go read it yourself if you like, but he was like, I don't want to get rid of...
Download Truth Social and use the promo code DOWNROUND UBERMENCH.
And post on there 20 to 25 times a day. Just aim for that and then sort of ratchet it up from there. But no, he basically came out and said, I don't want TikTok to be banned, because that would just give the keys to Zuckerberg, who's a real sicko and is an actual censor and is going to ruin the election or whatever. And the reason that that has been put forward, especially by some particularly aggressive parts of Silicon Valley, because it's worth mentioning the ascendant Silicon Valley class, like, you know, your Andreessen Horowitz types and people who are associated with them, Founders Fund people, the new class of founders and VCs and whatever, hate TikTok really, really vividly. Mm. And I think the main reason they hate it, apart from the fact that they sort of like to sell themselves as patriots, you know, this is the new generation of Silicon Valley, not soft cock liberals. Yeah. These are people who want America to succeed.
These aren't globalists.
That's it. But also there's the fact that they would prefer all the innovation in social media and communications or whatever to be coming from their own time. They are pointing to, and I think they're probably right, the fact that there is a really, really big GOP or Republican donor whose name's Jeff Yass. He's a hedge fund manager. Mm. Owns like a substantial portion of TikTok.
Yeah, it's like 20 to 30%.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Which is a huge chunk. Mm. Has been getting around, and he's a good friend of Donald Trump and other Republicans. So every time, and they've pointed out that there's a lot of donor relationships between him and Republicans who are actually like, whoa, like Rand Paul, Donald Trump, et cetera, which is another little funny little complication. Because, again, it would be quite funny if Donald Trump was elected president and went on his, like, insane campaign against whatever, but was like, but TikTok is fine. Don't worry about that. If kids want to keep doing, like, those fucked up little dances and shit,
yeah,
not my problem.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if also part of, like obviously, yeah, the Marc Andreessens of the world and whatnot who are on the kind of TikTok should be banned. Certainly part of it is like TikTok isn't part of their portfolio. And yeah, as you say, it's basically a competitor to, yeah, American innovation, which they see themselves as being able to
American dynamism.
In. Yeah.
Is the one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all that. But also, like, as a platform, it's wholly unsuited to kind of 65-year-old boring men. Really. You know, like, these are people who have massive followings on TikTok or whatever, big followings of their podcast, but they don't understand it. It's not their world. Obviously, the China thing, it's very easy to see how you can just be like, get rid of this thing. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
So this is the reason why, like, the last generation of Instagram superstars who never were able to make the jump to TikTok and Reels, like the Kardashians.
Yeah.
You know, the Kardashians, like, they were made by Instagram,
yeah,
right? Like,
absolutely.
That's the social platform that caused them to really explode in the 2010s. They haven't really made the jump to TikTok very well.
Mm.
And you see their posts on there and it's like, I don't think you quite get what the kids are into these days.
Yeah.
They should be coming out like, ban it. Get rid of it. Everyone get back on Instagram. And Instagram should shut down Reels.
Yeah.
Not a format that we're good at.
No, just back to a single images, square images.
Square image.
Little filter.
Bit of a filter on top.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But yeah, there are other headwinds at TikTok. That's the other thing. The explosive growth has slowed down.
Yeah. So this is the kind of the ironic thing as they're talking about TikTok being this sort of like octopus that's putting its tentacles through all of American life.
Mm.
TikTok is actually leveling off in growth. So its year-over-year growth calculated on like a quarterly basis is like 3% now, whereas it was 12% back in 2022.
Mm.
Meta's products are collectively back to number one, as where Americans and like young Americans spend most of their time.
Mm.
So like they're clawing back ground. And there's been a bunch of reasons that have been put forward for this, but one of them is, well, A, there's the fact that you can't just keep explosively growing at the rate that TikTok was forever. Every single network goes through this.
Yeah.
They mature, they develop, they find their users.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like there's a point in any network, any social network or any network generally, where like you switch from being like, all right, we just need to accumulate as many users as possible. Like we're explosively growing. We want to be in a position where people are like, I don't have TikTok and I feel like an idiot. I need to get on TikTok.
Yeah.
There's a point where that's happening. And then you evolve to a point where you're like, all right, we've hit the limit. Like our growth is slowing. So we just need to get the people who are already using it just to spend more time on there and spend more money on there.
Exactly.
And that's the period that TikTok's in right now.
Yeah, it's again, intensification. We don't like the word, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
That it's basically that kind of, that's the first level where it's give the users absolutely everything that they want. Now, when that levels off, it's
get them addicted,
monetize as hard as possible. Like start getting your average revenue per user up.
Which is why if you're a TikTok user, you would have noticed, in Australia, you wouldn't have noticed the TikTok shop stuff because it's pretty minimal here. In America, they are noticing that, like the e-commerce buying function of TikTok. But also the things like, they're trying to become YouTube. Like they want you to watch not just 30-second or 60-second videos, but they want you to sit down and watch a 10-minute video.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like you literally turn your phone on the side rather than doing the portrait thing and watch a normal video. Because they're like, all right, we've got our audience, which is still going to keep growing, but certainly not as fast as it used to. And we just need to like have
this. Well, they're trying everything. Yeah, live bits, like Twitch-like experience. Unclear how successful that has been. It certainly feels to me that a few months ago, maybe probably more, like 6 months ago or so, you would get pushed lives constantly. And I feel like I don't see them as much. I'm not a huge TikTok user, I have to admit.
From the time that I use it, you get served lives a lot less. I think a lot of it was just because like TikTok lives, there was a real pervert contingent where there were people that loved that stuff. And from what I've heard, they were making quite a bit of revenue from it, like TikTok, but also the people using it.
Mm.
But I think it kind of has a specific niche. And like you can listen to our Twitch episode and their other live.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it doesn't really fit it with the format of swiping constantly.
Well, that's
like, I watch people, you know, I caught the train this morning here because we're in the friggin' city and parking. I drive sometimes, but I've always parked illegally, basically. And that's what they do to you. This is what the system does to you.
It makes you into an animal. It reduces you. Man into an animal.
Exactly. Where you knowingly park somewhere for more than the time limit. Anyway, and I was watching, I do this. I'm a flaneur. I was watching, I just, you know, look around. I'm listening to a podcast, so, you know, I don't need to be glued to my phone. And everyone's on TikTok, right? Like, everyone's freaking scrolling TikTok, yeah. All reels, but a fair bit of TikTok. And people really spend a second on, you know, like per, they're scrolling. Like, it's got to capture you within a second or you are scrolling past that piece of content. Like, that's not really conducive to like a live stream, right? When people at any one time, it's like so frictionless to move on.
Yeah, I actually don't know how TikTok solves. Because like the entire engine they've built, which is a genius engine and has like rapidly remade the world in the space of a couple of years,
yeah,
is the world where like, yeah, you scroll. And if something doesn't grab you in the first 0.5 seconds,
yeah,
you keep swiping.
Or the dopamine like just like that's pumping in your head just like reduces by 1.5% because someone has taken a breath between talking. Bang, I'm off.
See you later, buddy.
Not good enough.
Man. You had your shot. But yeah, like the whole process of like, okay, I'm doing that. And then I see a live happening,
yeah,
which they used to serve to you relative like, I don't know what the formula was, but it seemed to be like once every, I don't know, 10 to 15 swipes or maybe a little bit less, and stop, tap on it to enter the live,
yeah,
watch that for God knows how long.
I'd buy bits and start potentially donating
like,
and shit.
Potentially like, yeah, pay them money, start donating them shit, and then be like, all right, see you later. Okay, I'm going to jump back on the carousel.
Yeah, it feels unnatural.
Or like, you know, at least YouTube has a completely different consumption method, which is like the autoplay system, right? You'll watch a video and you're doing something else. That's the other thing about TikTok. It demands 100% attention.
Yeah, yeah.
It's lean in. You're like, your whole screen is taken up. Comments are like, you need to tap and get out of it to whatever. YouTube is, you do in the background.
Yeah.
You never listen to TikTok in the background.
Well, you have to be engaged, otherwise it'll just repeat, right?
It'll keep repeating, yeah. It's even annoying when like I'm watching TikTok or something. And then I put my phone down to do something else.
Yeah.
And I hear the same video repeat over and over.
Well, you can't like really do it while cooking, for example.
No, because you've always got to be swiping.
Yeah.
Whereas YouTube, you can have a go in the background.
Passive.
It'll put something lovely in your feed to keep watching.
Yeah.
And you can be going for hours and hours and hours. TikTok, that doesn't even work remotely. So the fact they're really aggressively trying to do it is like, what are you doing, folks? Like,
yeah. It feels a bit like they are jumping around for the next thing. Don't get me wrong, very popular social network.
But
the other issue they run into, though, is universal.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like every platform hits the universal kind of battle at some point.
They are aggressive and litigious.
Universal music we're talking about.
We didn't talk about this at the time. It was like a month ago. But, yeah, we may as well talk about it now, which is that, yes, they have been in a battle with Universal Music about songs being available on the platform.
Yeah, royalties.
To attach to your video, royalties. They had a royalty deal. And Universal pulled out. Mm. And the stated reason for Universal pulling out was AI. Basically, they said at the time when they announced that all their music was being pulled.
Mm.
And what that means in practice is that people can't put Universal songs on their TikToks. And also any song TikToks that already exist in this vast library that have Universal songs are muted, including both the song and like what people were saying or doing in the video, just completely muted.
Which is obviously crazy. Like people doing dances to nothing.
Doing dances to nothing. It's just
pieces to camera. But yeah, but Universal, within the music scene, there was obviously a bunch of artists who were particularly like, who use TikTok a lot, who are Universal Music artists, who were a bit unhappy with this. I mean, this happened before with YouTube, with Universal basically kicked up a stink about the...
You experienced it firsthand.
I did. Like a version that I was in, that got taken down from YouTube, and it was pretty popular. I had, you know, hundreds of thousands of views, and it was taken down from YouTube for a couple of years until, I believe, or a year and a half or so until that was resolved, that issue between Universal and YouTube. I mean, for clarification, I'm signed to Sony as I'm no longer signed to Sony as a record label, but I am still currently signed as a Universal Music Publishing artist.
Yep.
So everything I say here, they own 50% of. That's not true. This is not music. I do not owe you anything for...
So all the stuff Raf said about China... Contract. All the stuff Raf said about China being a blameless actor in global affairs, Universal endorses 50% of that.
Well, but actually, so with regards to the particular situation, AI stuff, but also royalty disagreement, blah, blah, blah. It started with Universal, people who were signed to Universal as a record label, and has now moved on to people who were signed to Universal Music Publishing. And Universal Music Publishing, as in songwriting, that's... we're not going to get to the ins and outs of how record deals work. Universal have around 20 to 30% of all published music they own the rights to, including everything that I've ever done and will continue to do. I've actually never looked up. I've been in three bands, if you don't know. I've never bothered to check, you know, people doing things to our music.
Yeah.
And turns out they are. And it wasn't as they're going through the process of removing. And looking at, like, the different bands I'm in, I don't know how this is happening, and this is now pure speculation, but the most popular songs are gone. They're nowhere to be seen. Some of them have, like, this song was used in 66 videos, and there's, like, no videos there, or, like, one or two videos there, or it's weird. But then the least popular of the music that I've released still seems to be there.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't need to look it up yourself, but we had a look through at Raf's music catalogue. And the kind of videos that people are attaching to his songs. And can I just say...
The least popular ones.
The least popular, sorry, just to clarify. The least popular music on the albums he's put out. I'm going to put it out there. These were not banger viral videos.
No, they were not.
These had 12 likes. Generously.
Generously.
But, you know, but yeah, it's interesting because, you know, TikTok is a huge growth engine for music now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also, it's one way that, I mean... On the one hand, labels love their artists to be on TikTok, shooting TikToks, growing on TikTok.
Well, like they will sign artists based on their TikTok following, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll tell sign artists like, hey, you need to be posting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You need to be like posting on there all the time. So there's that. It's making artists huge. It's feeding a whole new generation of whatever. But on the other hand, you know, it is kind of like the battle they have with streaming services where it's about royalties and cuts and things like that. But there's sort of an added layer on top of that where it's like, you know, I think the major labels understand kind of where they're at with Spotify.
Mm.
I mean, Spotify hands over the vast majority of its revenue to the labels. And then, you know, some of that trickles down to the artists, a small stipend.
Mm. Listen to the music episode if you want to hear more about that stuff.
Hear more sounding off on that topic. But I think they understand what's kind of going on there. And I think, you know, Spotify are relatively clear about what's happening. Spotify definitely don't want to piss the labels off.
No, the labels are generally okay with Spotify, is my understanding, despite the fact that Spotify... You know, doesn't pay. It's probably one of the worst streaming services, if you exclude YouTube and whatnot, for royalties. Because labels' catalogs are so massive that, on aggregate, they make heaps of money.
They're just absorbing rents basically. Yeah, yeah. Whereas TikTok is a bit weirder. A, on the one hand, because it's sort of abnormal the way it's monetized, but secondarily, there's the fact that like I don't think TikTok is that trustworthy an actor in what it does. And this was where the AI stuff kind of came into it, where it was like TikTok wants to build like an AI music generation engine where people can sort of like make their own music to appear over video clips. That's sort of beyond the sort of stuff Spotify would do. Yes. This is just one reason, and like, to a level to it, it's probably an excuse. But you can definitely see them being like, whoa, okay. Like, is your long-term plan to sort of reduce the cost of our product to zero, essentially, by making it like make people generate their own songs, which then get shared around and put in other videos. So I kind of get it on that level. But I think the overall point is that all is not well in TikTok world. Who knows if or when they're going to come back to the table and strike a deal. They seem to be winning the fight right now in the sense that they're not giving up ground.
Yeah, it's funny how it's like such a replay of the YouTube thing, because artists, as you can imagine, who especially if you had like videos with lots of views on YouTube, were really annoyed at the time that Universal took them off YouTube. But Universal held strong, and in the end, they did seem to negotiate a better rights deal. The same is true here. I think there's a lot of Universal artists who are probably pretty annoyed. However, I mean, it's a weirder one with TikTok, as you say, because this isn't real. Like, the problem with YouTube is that people were using it as a streaming platform, right? That was like people's number one way to consume music. They were just using it to listen to music, and the record labels weren't getting royalties from people listening to that music. So it's kind of like, okay,
yeah,
you can see why a label would be annoyed. Here, where it's like little 30-second snippets, it feels a bit like, are people choosing to watch a TikTok to listen to the music, like as opposed to going and listening on Apple Music or Spotify?
Yeah,
or
I don't think so. Cause no. If you go to any like major artist that sort of puts their music out through TikTok first, which is kind of a lot of the pipeline now, like they'll put out a 30-second clip and attached to videos, and then let people do their own remixes and and then they'll but once they do that, you look at the comments and there's just like, it's like the new come to Brazil is like, when Spotify, like when is this coming on Spotify, when are you releasing this?
Yeah,
and often they take fucking ages.
Yeah,
like there's a real like dangling the carrot.
I remember thing. I was waiting forever for Island Boys to come out.
Oh yeah,
finally it did. And I'm an island boy.
It's a huge tune. Yeah, it really is a marketing engine. Mm. But at the same time, Universal, and I assume the other labels to a certain degree, are probably looking at that and being like, you're still profiting hugely. Like, your platform wouldn't work. Mm. Like, TikTok would not work if there was no commercially available music as a platform.
Yeah.
Just by nature of how it grew, it came out of that Musical.ly platform.
Mm.
I just don't think it would work. So I would say like 85% of videos you see on TikTok have like some sort of like commercial soundtrack.
Yeah, as I've said before, one of the beauties of TikTok is it makes the user more creative than they actually are in a lot of ways. Or at least it gives you, it enables you to be much more creative than you would be if you just opened up Final Cut or Adobe Premiere, right? Because it's got all these kind of suggestions and effects and everything at your disposal ready to just be like, we will help you make this good. Like, we're going to make your video good. Obviously, when you look at some of the Meeting Tree's less popular tracks and the videos that go along with them, it doesn't work all the time. But you know what I mean? And I've always said, like, Cards Against Humanity is the perfect game because it makes people funny. You don't actually have to be funny. You're picking from a bunch of options to say something. Like, it makes you funny and creative and everyone laughs and you get the feeling of being an artist and a comedian or whatever through, like, putting a bunch of cards together.
Yeah.
Like, TikTok kind of is in that same way, right? Like, it makes your content better and makes you creative. And you're right. Like, without a banger behind it, it's a bit harder.
Maybe it's a bit harder. But, yeah, so all this stuff is going on where it's just like, and this is not a specifically TikTok problem, but there's growing pains. They're growing and slowing down. They need to find engagement. Their stakeholders are up their ass about various things.
And realistically, if it's 166 days, by the time this episode is out, we could be 166 day countdown.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think there's still a few more things for them to do on that front, because this is just the committee and then putting it through and what have you. So there's this. I'm feeling pretty good about maybe it will get banned or like at least go through the process.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would point out as sort of like a last point is that, you know, we've kind of talked a little bit about Reels as being like the play on the part of Meta and Zuckerberg to be like, we've got something ready to go.
Yeah.
But it is growing.
It is growing.
It's growing really strongly.
And they're monetizing it pretty well as well.
They're monetizing it well. One thing I will say is that, like, as awful as TikTok often is and can be, Reels is just like a psycho wasteland.
Oh.
You look at the comment section on any Reel and you're just like, Jesus Christ. It's like in much the same way as like the Facebook comment section or anything. It's really just like the amalgamated mass of humanity in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah. And I should say YouTube Shorts is seemingly, they've been pushing it hard. I don't know how successful it is because, unfortunately, despite the fact that it's in massive contradiction to SEC regulations, Google does not split out most of YouTube's business, despite the fact legally they're obliged to. However,
are you listening? Are you listening to us,
YouTube? Gary Gensler?
Yeah, we are. And also the top brass at YouTube. And let me just say, we're going to keep talking about that unless one of the 50,000 VPs that work at Google subscribes to the Data Rad podcast.
In which case, I will shut up about your SEC regulation violations.
Guaranteed.
If I don't spout off about this next week, just know that there's an SVP at Google who's probably in charge of the woke.
The woke stuff, they pull the trigger. And great to have you on board. Hey, Raf.
Hey, James.
Did you know that you can get an extra episode of Down Round every single week on top of the one that you're already getting?
Yeah, I knew that.
Well, yeah, obviously you know, but the person is... I'm using you as a vessel to explain.
Sorry, I'm the listener. No, go on, tell me more, James. How much does it cost?
A mere $7 a month, Raf.
Okay, where do I go to find out more about this?
You go to downround.net.
Okay, I want it.
Well, I'm sure you do.
I feel like I'm missing out by not having it.
Exactly. No ads. Second episode per week. And a few other little goodies that are coming down the pipeline as well. Head to downround.net.
Downround.net.
And sign up to Downround Premium.